Amen. Turn with me, if you would be so kind, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 4. Should be no issue finding that one. Genesis chapter 4. If you have it, say agape. Let us stand for the reading of the word of God. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord, and the scripture reads, "Now the man had relations with his wife, Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard." We want to use as a subject this morning, sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. You may be seated. Sacrificial giving. You know, last week we shared about being all in. Being all in. Y'all remember that last week? Being all in. A call to faithfulness. A call to faithfulness. And God is calling, he's calling his people to faithfulness. He's calling us to faithfulness, and I share with you all, and some of y'all to hear it again, but God has placed on our heart this year, the theme for our church for 2017 is the year of release. The year of release. Say release. Release. Release, release, release. This is the year of release for Agape Christian Church, and God gave that to me up here one day. We were just about to pray to ask him, what direction would he have us to go in? Before I even prayed, God gave it to me. He gave it to me. Nathaniel just spoke it, and the Lord spoke through him, and I grabbed it. I said, that's it. This is the year of release for Agape Christian Church. Maybe even if you're visiting, maybe this is a year of release for you as well. Amen. But this is what God has given us. And last week, we talked about being all in, being faithful, a call to faithfulness. From Hebrews last week. And there's a confident expectation, just highlighting real quick, there's a confident expectation because of classification. In other words, because you are in Jesus Christ, because we are in Jesus Christ, there's a confident expectation that we will produce fruits that are lining up with who we are as Christians, fruits of salvation. That's things that should come about by those of us that are in Christ Jesus. There's a confident expectation. I'm confident that God's going to do great things through you because you're saved. Because you're saved. We talked about that last week. Then we also talked about counting on God because God is conscious of our efforts. You can count on God because God is conscious of our efforts. God is watching everything that you and I do. And when what we do is to bring him glory, he's paying attention to that, and God will reward you. He will reward you. We talked about that. You heard the testimony this morning from Devon. Devon was at Christmas rehearsal, and he shared what was on his heart, and the saints prayed over him, and God rewarded him with a job. Amen? And God is paying attention to everything that you do. That's why you don't have to worry about if your name gets left off the roll. You don't have to worry about whether or not anyone acknowledges you or pays attention to you. God in heaven sees everything that you do, and he will reward you. As a matter of fact, God will reward you like man can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, no, no, don't get upset when they don't promote you on the job by being faithful. Don't get upset if they bypass you. God knows how to elevate you. God will call somebody to resign after they told you no. God will call somebody to resign and then call you and say, we sure could use you. After they've denied you. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. When God wants to elevate you, he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. And then we talked about the challenge to continue commitment until completion. In other words, even though you're doing your best and you're doing the works of salvation, along the way we get tired, along the way we get discouraged, but we closed that thing out last week. But you got to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This we ought to be challenged and be committed to remaining faithful. Remaining faithful, looking unto Jesus. When you get tired, look at Jesus. When you get weary, look at Jesus. Go to the cross and see Jesus. And when you get a glimpse of Jesus and how he stayed faithful all the way to the cross, that will encourage you, that will invigorate you to continue on. And that's the challenge. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, again, with this year of release, God has placed it on my heart to speak in the area of giving, sacrificial giving. Much has been taught about giving over the years. Much has been said, much has been taught from the pulpit in the church about giving over the years, and use this around these type of messages where your amens go out the window. Yeah. Amens go out the window, or you start talking about giving. They have a way of leaving the building. But listen, many times, this giving thing has been taught out of context. Y'all hear me? It's been taught out of context, and God has given me a revelation as it relates to sacrificial giving. Now, the scripture, see, this is the thing, it's the Bible. The scripture is clear about tithes and offerings. It's the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It is clear about tithes and offerings. Leviticus 27, Malachi 3, and I'll reference Malachi 3 even later. Old and New Testament speak about tithes and offering and sacrificial giving. That is in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Jesus taught about money. The parables talk about money. The widow, her last, he talked about paying Caesar his, render unto Caesar what's due Caesar's. Even Zacchaeus, the tax collector. There are so many teachings about money in the Bible. But many times, it's taken and it's abused and it's used in the wrong way. And the people of God, I just want to share with you what God has given to me as it relates to sacrificial giving. So much teaching about money. And here it is. Hear me well. See, giving isn't necessarily simply for buildings. Sacrificial giving is not necessarily just for buildings. It's not just to pay staff members' salaries. It's not just for those things, but it goes far deeper than that. It goes so much deeper than those surface things. You know what sacrificial giving really is all about? Jesus. It's really what it's about. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture. Now, the scripture says in Genesis 4:1, it says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve. You know what relations is. I don't have to exegete that. Amen. He had sex with his wife Eve, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Man, woman. Amen. Man and woman, they had sex, and Eve conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, here, pay attention to the scripture. It didn't say that she conceived again. It just says she had Abel. So it's highly possible that they were what? Twins. Highly possible. Scripture doesn't say it. Highly possible, because it didn't say she conceived again. However, you've got these two brothers. These two brothers. And this is amazing. This is the first pregnancy in human history. Very first pregnancy in human history. And it's possibly twins. And again, the scripture tells us in Psalms, children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And again, when God blesses you with children, you ought to celebrate that. That's a blessing. That's a reward from God. That's a blessing. The fruit of the womb. But here it is. We're talking about sacrificial giving. Thank you, Lord. If God allows, you see, we're talking, and it goes deeper than building. That's what I'm telling y'all. Sacrificial giving is deeper. God blesses you with a child. You ought to be willing to give. Do you hear me this morning? That's huge. And so many times, that's never taught. It's never even talked about. But if God has blessed you, if he's blessed your womb, the fruit of your womb, and given you children, that's enough to give. We're talking about sacrificial giving. And so God blessed Adam and Eve with two men child. Cain and Abel. Now, number one, here it is. I want to get into it. Here it is. I'm going to give first the reason for sacrificial giving, the reason for sacrificial giving, the requirement for sacrificial giving, and then God's response to sacrificial giving. The reason for sacrificial giving, the requirements, and God's response. Let's look at the reason. Verse 2, it says, again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Here's the reason right here. And then it says, verse 3, so it came about in the course of time, and we'll stop right there because I want to give the reason. Work is instituted way back in the beginning. Those brothers had jobs. They had J-O-B's. J-O-B's. Let me just back train this a little bit. Adam had a job before Eve came along. Do y'all hear me? God gave him a job before Eve came along. Sisters, if he ain't working, excuse my English, if he ain't working, let him be. You need to let him know. No. God, the man had a job. How are you going to cover me? How are you going to take care of me? Now, I understand when you're married, and you know, sir, you already married. But you're talking about getting married. If that joker don't have a job, oh, you need to drop him like a hot potato. When he talk about getting married, no, you're not ready for marriage right now. Get the job first. Then we can talk about marriage. But both of these brothers had jobs. Amen. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He farmed the ground. Amen. And Abel was a shepherd. He kept flocks. He tended to flocks. They both had jobs. But the scripture says, so it came about in the course of time. In other words, they had put in the work. They had been working. And now the time came for the work to cease. And now it's time to come before God with an offering. Are y'all hearing me? Are you with me this morning? Here it is. After we have received our earnings in the course of time, there comes a point in time where you come before God with your offering. Let me paint the picture. Here it is. It's Cain and Abel both looking at what God had provided. It's the course of time. You got your check. Friday has come. And now you have it, and it's in front of you. That's the course of time. It's decision time. And this is what the picture is that there comes a time when God has blessed you, and he has blessed me, and he's given us. He's given us, and here we are in the course of time of giving God an offering. This is what he's talking about. This is an opportunity for us to say thank you to the God who has given us the ability to make this. Are y'all with me this morning? Deuteronomy 8:18 says it like this. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth. Remember the Lord your God, for who is it that's giving you the power? God, whatever job you have, and we had all of those different occupations up there. Whatever job you have, whatever job that you are doing, if God does not give you the ability to do it, you can't do it. You can't do it. And here's a way of saying, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me the ability to do my job. That's a blessing from God. And look, 1 Corinthians 16:2, again, here it is. It's right out front. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Look at those instructions. This is in the context of the church. This was the church of Corinth. And this is Paul, the overseer of this church. On the first day of each week, you should each. Let me take my time this morning. You should each. That's la-di-da-di. That's la-di-da-di. Everybody. Each put aside a portion of the money you've earned. And listen, I'm gonna go even deeper. Y'all look at Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. It's the word of God. Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down near the collection box back there. He sat down back there. And look, y'all, we don't pass the plate. We don't pass the plate. We don't pass the plate. There's boxes back there. So Jesus is standing back there as everybody coming to church. Y'all, he's standing back there as everybody come to church, and he's watching what each person was putting in. What if I went all the way back there as everybody came in? This is a pastor that lost his mind. But this is what he did. And the point is this. The point is this. Because we're talking about sacrificial giving. When it's in your heart to do, you're going to do it. Yeah, we aren't. I'm not, y'all listen, y'all know I'm not begging. I'm going to give you the word of God. And that's between you and him. It's between you and him. But the expectation, this is Jesus in the temple. That means people were bringing offerings to the temple of what they earned. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. And then here's the big thing. Cain and Abel, they had to have been taught something from their parents. Where would they get it from? Come on, let's be real. Most kids, I ain't going to say most, all come into this world taking. Let's be real. You try to figure that out. You can't figure it out. Children will take from other kids. Little kids just playing with their toys. And then one kid decide, I'm going to just take that. And then the other kid crying, don't know what's going on. Why you taking my toy? You know? It's just in the nature of the children to do it, to just take. So Adam and Eve had to teach Cain and Abel about giving. And parents, it's our responsibility to teach our children about giving. Do y'all hear me this morning? We need to teach our children about sacrificial giving. Amen. We ought to be example. We should be leading the way. And then here's the other side. Cain and Abel were now old enough to do it on their own. Ooh, young people, listen. 18, when you get your first check, You get that first check. I'll never forget. I got my first check from HEB. Goliad Road, $3.35 an hour, bagging groceries. And y'all, back in the day, I'm from Texas. I told somebody I was going to get them some cowboy boots. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, I from Texas, got my check, went and bought me some brand new cowboy boots, Ropers. Ropers. Anybody know about Ropers? All right, all right. Got my brand new Ropers, y'all. I was ready to style. And I came home, and Mama looked at me and said, "You got your check?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, you need to give me something of that. You grown now. You land up in this house." I said, "Mama, I bought these boots." "Well, you gonna give me something." Young people, if you're 18 and you're still at home and you work a job, take care of your mom, your dad. Give something. Amen. So I have to get my boots back and give it up. And give it up and give it up. But they were now old enough. And here's my point. When you're old enough and you're making a check, sacrificial giving. "God, thank you for the ability, and you've given me this, those Jordans." Him first. Young people, y'all with me this morning? Young people, y'all with me this morning? Call for some. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. But that's the reason. The reason is, if God gives us the ability to work, then we ought to give him something back. There's a reason. There's a reason. Amen? Let's look at the requirement. This is the requirement. The requirement. Verses 3 through 4a. It says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain he did not." So here it is. Here's the requirement. Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat of their portions. Cain's offering wasn't the first. Do y'all hear me this morning? Cain's offering was not the first. Abel's offering was the first. Now, this is going to go even deeper. See, the blessing is in the first fruit. Do y'all hear me? Many people are looking for a blessing, but they're not given the first fruit. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Exodus 13, 1 and 2 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast." And look what God says. "That's mine. That belongs to me." So do you see? That's why he says, "Bring your tithes and offerings." You know why he's not saying give? Because it's not yours to give. The first, he says, is mine. That's mine. That already belongs to God. That's why Malachi says, "You a thief if you take what's not yours." That's the word of God. And so when you give up the first fruits, that's what a blessing is. You can't give God the second and expect to be blessed. The blessing is always in the first fruit. It's always in the first fruit. So again, here it is. Here it is. It's out front. It's right here. It can't be. Okay, I've got my check. Here it is. And you thinking about Macy's. You thinking about your credit card debt. You thinking about CPS. You thinking about your mortgage. You thinking about your car note. You thinking about insurance. You thinking about all those things. And then, okay, after that, here you go, God. That's not the first. Here's the first. God, ooh. Thank you. Here's what I'm going to give you off the top. off the top. That's first. That's first. That's the first. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says it like this. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Listen, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Overflow with new wine. Overflow. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. See, the difference is this. Cain gave of the first. Abel gave of the first, and Cain didn't. Cain looked at it, looked at what God had given him, and decided to get his first, and then took the second to God. That's not of the first. But I want to take you even deeper. This is where God really messed with me on this. Because we understand the first fruits. The blessing is in the first fruits. If you're not giving God the first fruit, don't look for God to bless you. But when you give God the first fruit, you can expect it. You can expect it. But this goes deeper. Let me show you something even deeper. Here it is. Abel not only offered the first fruit, but then it says he offered up of the fat portions of the first. I want y'all to stay with me this morning. He gave of the fat portions first, which means something died. Something died from Abel's offering. I want y'all to stay with me this morning. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Y'all remember that story? You look back. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Well, that wasn't good enough. And so God dealt with them. And so what God did in his grace and in his mercy, God killed an animal. And God took the skin from the animal and clothed Adam and Eve with it. And see, that's what works amount to. Work-based salvation amounts to fig leaves. Anytime you're trying to earn God's favor on your own, apart from him, that only amounts to fig leaves. But see, in order to really please God, something has to die. I'm talking about sacrificial giving. See, they tried to cover themselves. But listen, here it is. Now, what did God kill? I thought about that. What did God kill in order to get the skin to cover them? The Bible don't say, but you know what I really believe? I believe it was a lamb. And you know what it was a picture of? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That when God killed that animal to cover them, to cover their sins, something died in order to cover their sins. And so anytime Adam and Eve gave, you know what they thought about? God covering them. That's why it's important and understand that some things have to die. See, thank you, Lord. The reason we can't please God in our giving is because we're not willing to kill some stuff. Something died in order for that sacrifice to be accepted. And if we're going to please God, some things have to die. We got to kill some stuff. But I want to take you even deeper. I'm talking about sacrificial giving, y'all. See, we don't think of it this way. When we give sacrificial, we remind God of Jesus. Do y'all hear me? Are y'all with me this morning? When you give sacrificial, what that does is that reminds God of Jesus. In other words, he's saying, my child is willing to kill some stuff to honor me. That's what I'm telling y'all. It's not about money. It's not about buildings necessarily. It's not about all of that. It's about Jesus. And if he can't see Jesus in your giving, listen. When Cain didn't kill something, you know what he ended up killing? His own brother. And that always happens because people are unwilling to kill what needs to be killed. They'll turn around and kill that which is bringing life, that which is bearing fruit. And it happens in church. It happens in church. People of God, when you're not willing to kill what needs to be killed, you kill what God has for the church. You kill it. This is a prime example right here in the scripture, talking about sacrificial giving. Here it is. What are you willing to kill in order to give God his sacrifice? What are you willing to kill? Kill, to say, God, this doesn't matter. I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to kill this area of my life. I'm going to kill this selfishness in my life. I'm going to kill all of these. Kill that to give God. That's the reason I believe with all my heart that we can't offer God a sacrifice in our giving, is because we're not willing to kill some stuff. Just not willing to kill some stuff. And see, you can give a good offering. And it's not about the amount. Amen. It's not about the amount. You know, you can give a large amount, but what did it cost you? What died because of that? You know, a lot of people give from their abundance. That's what Jesus talking about. You, many give from your abundance, but that widow, she gave all she had, her livelihood, because of she understood that sacrifice. And that's what Abel was doing. Abel, I'm talking about the requirement for sacrificial giving. Abel recognized that God was going to provide a savior. A savior. And anytime you come to this place, we get to this place, start thinking about Jesus. Don't think about nobody but Jesus if you really want to please him in giving. Amen. Look, Matthew 13, 45, 46 says it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And here it is. When you get salvation, that's why I said, God, you don't have to do another thing. You've given us more than what we deserve through salvation. And this is what this is talking about. When you get salvation, nothing else really matters. Nothing else really matters, people of God. People of God, this is what sacrificial giving is all about. It's about him. It's about Christ. That's it. And I'm going to close with God's response. God's response to sacrificial giving. God's response to sacrificial giving. Look what it says. It says in verse 4b, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. There we go. These two brothers presented their offering. God accepted one. He had regard. Regard, that word means to accept. It means to pay attention to. It means to accept or to pay attention to. And there it is. Does God accept and pay attention to your offering? Does he pay attention? Now, I don't want y'all to miss this. He said he had regard for Abel and his offering. Don't miss that. He had regard for Abel and his offering. That's a package deal. When we give sacrificially, God is not only paying attention to your offering, he's paying attention to you. Ooh. Listen. He had no regard for Cain's offering, but for Abel and his offering. God paid attention to Abel and his offering. Paid attention to him. But here's the question that I had to ask myself, y'all. I was struggling. I had to ask myself, how did they know that God accepted their offering? How did they know that? I mean, think about it. How would you know if God accepted your offering or rejected your offering, had no regard for it? How do you know if God pays attention to you or pay attention to your offering? Oh, my goodness. How do you know if God accepts you, if God accepts your offering? I said, God, I'm searching. I'm hungry for this, Lord. Show me. How could they have known whether or not you accepted or rejected their offering? Well, God took me to a few passages of scripture. The first one was in Romans 12:1. But I'm going to read 11, 30 through 36, because it leads up to it. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 12, Paul goes on. He says, I urge you, I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, Paul listed all these great attributes about God in those previous verses. And he talked about how God, he's unsearchable, his judgments unsearchable, his knowledge unsearchable, who's given to him first, and then it's through him and in him, and all things all exist in God. He talks about how great God is, the grandeur of God, and how powerful God is, and how good God is, and how merciful God is. He gives all of that, and then he says, now I urge you, I exhort you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice. Here it is. He understood how good God is. He understood how good God is. He understood how great God was. And therefore, he says, I urge you and I'm exhorting you. I'm exhorting you to present your body a living sacrifice. That's one answer God gave me. But then he took me a little bit deeper. Malachi 3, 10 through 12. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now it says, open up the windows of heaven and then pour out. That word pour means to empty. He's willing to give it all. God gave all in Jesus Christ. There was nothing left. There was nothing left. He gave it all through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. He says, I open up the windows of heaven. But listen, he was speaking to people where the ground needed rain to produce. And he's speaking that he will allow rain to come so that fruit and vegetation would grow and would be fruitful and multiply. And so he says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out. But here it is, verse 11. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Here's how they knew. Here's another reason they knew. This was fruitful. God blessed it. God honored it. And God brings more. Versus the other. Because again, when you don't give God, the scripture goes on to say you're cursed. Amen. Cain was cursed because he did not honor God. He stole from God. And so the cursing was on him and the blessing was on him. And listen. Sometimes you can look at somebody else's life and say, man, they sure got it together. Boy, it seemed like God just blessing them. Ooh, seemed like God got favor on their life. Man. You're just watching God produce in their lives. That's an indication that they're treating him right. And if things are just toe up in your life, there's no fruit in your life, you're constantly miserable, he's never satisfied, just always this, always that, always just going, always up, no fruit, nothing in your life, maybe. You're under a curse. Amen. And this is how you know. And here's the thing. You know you're blessed when almost everything you do, God shows you who he is. Amen. You got look at God moments every day. Look at God. And see, your circumstance does not dictate your blessing. Write that one down. That's it. I don't care how bad your situation is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, I could be going through a storm, but I realize that I'm in his hands. And I realize that he has my heart. And I realize that I've given sacrificially to him. So it doesn't matter what comes my way. That means, God, you're taking me through this because you're trying to show me something. God, you're taking me through this because you want to bring fruit out of this situation. God, you're taking me through this because you've got something bigger and better for me. And God, it is not, it don't have to be money. God, your blessings are greater than any money. You can't put a price. You can't put a price on the favor of God. You can't put a price on the blessings of God. Don't get caught up in looking at the money. God's blessings are kingdom blessings. God's blessings are heavenly blessings. And so as long as I'm lined up with him, as long as I'm lined up with him, God's favor is going to rest on me. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You not know that means God was not going to allow the locusts to eat up what they worked hard for. He would restrain the locusts from destroying everything that they worked for. And listen, people always say, man, it sure feel like I got holes in my pocket. Every time I get a check, it's gone. Stuff break here, stuff break there. This break, that break, all the time. That might be the devourer. Amen. Hear me? That might be the devourer. But thank you, Lord. See, when you offer him the sacrifice, you can have an old beat up car that shouldn't be running. The paint is peeled off the top. The cloth that's supposed to be up here is hanging down. You're using a carton to carry your windshield wiper in because the one you had is gone. You don't have no AC in the car. It's a 4-speed stick shift. And yet that car runs. And it keeps on running. And it keeps on running. And it keeps on running. Not supposed to run, but it keeps on running. God has a way of keeping your stuff when you treat him right. It don't have to be looking good. It don't have to be the best of everything. But if it's from God, it's good enough for me. And God knows how to keep it. He knows how to keep it. He knows how to prolong it. Suit I first preached in back in 1999. I still wear that bad boy. God knows how to keep your stuff. That's how you know you're blessed. That car ain't supposed to be running. God is covering me. And he rebukes the devourer. If all you're doing is losing, every time you look something break, that might be the devourer. Amen. God know how to preserve your stuff. God know how to provide for you and cover for you. But it all goes back to sacrificial giving. Goes back to sacrificial giving. That was the second reason. But this last one. God took me to a few passages of scripture. Genesis 8:20. How did they know? Genesis 8:20. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. In other words, his sacrificial offering smelled good to God, and it caused God to act on his behalf and on your behalf and my behalf. Then he took me to 1 Kings 18:38, and this is where I got excited. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. It was Elijah. The fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, Elijah was dealing with these false prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, we're going to put God to the test. We're going to find out whose God is God. And so Elijah offered up the sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. He offered up this evening sacrifice, and he poured water all over the sacrifice. And you got to understand something. There was no rain in the land during this time. God had shut up heaven, y'all. And so Elijah prepares this sacrifice, and he wanted to really put on display his God. So he put a whole bunch of water on this sacrifice. And water just went everywhere. And the Bible says that the fire of the Lord fell from heaven and licked up everything, including the water. Now listen, This was just a little bit of water. Did y'all hear me? Because guess what happened shortly after that? God sent a rain. God sent a rain. God sent a rain. God sent a rain. Here's my point. Fire was an indication that God accepted their offerings. Fire represents the presence of God. Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me strange? I got one more. 2 Chronicles 7:1. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And then there was a plague that stopped. A plague had broken out among God's people, and a sacrifice went up from Solomon, made an end of prayer. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Here it is, here it is, here it is. Every time you and I give sacrificially, God begins to look at that offering. And what God does, and it goes back to the scripture in Matthew, he looked at Jesus and he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And when we give sacrificially, we give from the heart, well, we've been willing to kill something. What God does is he look at that offering and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And when you have that heart in sacrificial giving, the Bible says that it's an aroma in the nostrils of God. And then the presence of God, the presence of God will be with you and will go with you and will abide with you and will tarry with you because you have the presence of God over your life because of sacrificial giving. Amen. That's greater than any. You know, you can't put a price on the presence. That's what my heart is. I only want his presence. I only want his anointing. That's all I want. Everything else is just gravy. Just gravy. But to have the presence of God and for God to see Jesus when I give, not just money, ministry, time, offering our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service at least. Does he see Jesus in your giving? That's the bottom line. Is it acceptable or not acceptable? Does he have regard for your offering like he did Abel's? Or does he look away as he did Cain's? If something has to die, it's my heart that you kill it. Because there's nothing like the blessings of God. There is nothing. There is nothing like the blessings of God. When you treat him right, he will show you some things. He will show you some things. Y'all, God has blessed our church. He's blessed our church in an incredible way. And not just the physical, but the spiritual. And in this year of release, I'm believing God to really show us some stuff. I believe it. I believe it with everything in me. I know he's going to do it. I've already claimed it by faith. He's already starting to reveal things already. But it comes back to what are we willing to give up? What are we willing to sacrifice for him? Amen?